Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha with the Good Word podcast, and we are joined by none other than gospel musician, faith leader, pastor, all of the above, powerhouse, Charles Jenkins, for our last episode of 2022. Charles, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tisha.
You know, it's such an exciting time, you know, in the gospel music industry, because I feel like gospel has come back. The gospel has come back. Music, the word, 2022 was an interesting year on so many fronts. But, you know, tell us a little bit about why it was so interesting, or what stood out for 2022 for you.
You know, I think gospel, which means good news, has been the force that brought people through the pandemic into 2022, when things basically opened up. And for me, you know, it's been amazing from a highlight standpoint to have multiple number one songs that I wrote, a song called He's Been Good, led by Kenny Lewis in one voice. I did a remake of Stephanie Mills's Never Knew Love Like This Before and gospelized it. And I was honored to have Stephanie on it, and got the permission of Mr. Reggie Lucas, the original writer, and Mr. James Ntume, the original producer, to remake it, remix it, which was incredible. And to watch that spread around the world and go to the top of the chart, and going to the top of the chart, all that means is your music is played the most, which means your message is shared and you're able to empower people, encourage people, and uplift people. And I think one of my highlights with being able to share music this 2022 year, and watching that remake be the number one most played song of the year on Billboard for 2022, hearing the stories of people, you know, the stories of people being able to get through tough seasons, being able to get to amazing accomplishments. I just spoke to a newscaster in another major American city that said to me that the music helped her make her transition to a new city and take on a new role. So really hearing the people testify and talk about, you know, what they've experienced through something that God has given me is just really unbelievable. And I'm really grateful.
You know what's so incredible? You mentioned about it being number one and having such a far reach. And it seems to me that that allows your music to reach people that maybe the church is unable to reach.
You know, I think the coolest thing to drive that point home is several years ago, a team member of mine called me with the head of Live Nation and Jay-Z's manager, and said to me that Jay wanted me to perform at Made in America. And, you know, I was like, I'll never forget that phone call. I was like, Mr. Z doesn't know me. And they're like, yes, he does. He loves the song Awesome, affectionately known as My God is Awesome, and wants you to perform in Philly at Made in America. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, while he would never invite me to speak, probably has never heard me speak before, music is kind of that non-invasive, simultaneously all access pass, I would say. And so while it's non-invasive, it's invasive, you know, it's like everybody just kind of welcomes it with open arms. I remember when Miss Aretha Franklin called me and my assistant was like, Aretha Franklin on line one. I was like, oh my God. She jumped on the phone and Dr. Jenkins, this is Aretha Franklin from Detroit, Michigan, calling. My God is awesome. Yes, he is. He can move mountains. Oh, yes, he can. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. How are you on this fine afternoon? I was like, oh, my God. So reaching the church, or reaching people who are not in church, or reaching people who have faith, but maybe you wouldn't ordinarily have access to them. Music kind of just is almost a lasso. It just, you throw your music out and it just ropes around and you just reel people in, and you're able to impact people at all levels of life. And it's really special.
It's so incredible, you know, just to hear you share these stories, because you share them and it's like, it just happened. And I feel like I was right there with you when it happened, because that's how powerful those moments can be. You know, it's been a, make no mistake, it's been a rough few years for so many people. And so many people have had nothing but God to turn to. So many people have had nothing but gospel music, your music, to turn to. As we head into 2023, what's the message?
You know, it's been a tough years for a few people and me included. I mean, when you have all your tour dates canceled, when you have all your speaking opportunities canceled, when you have, you know, just really the rug pulled out from under you, you're not able to do what you love in many senses from a platform standpoint. You're not able, you know, to maybe have the means you would normally have to be able to do everything you would love to do. And then the pivot you have to make to be able to find your footing sometimes in a different way until you know, you're able to see your way, right? And so I think what's exciting is I feel like lots of people are turning a corner, me included. And the message for 2023, I think, is pivot. And that could be educationally, from a learning standpoint, considering what do you need to learn for this next season? What do you need to know? Where do you need to grow? What are you looking to be, accomplish, whether that's emotionally and making sure that you are feeding yourself in a way that will lead you in the direction that you want to go into. What does your content consumption look like? Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? And where are you listening to it? I think environment is critical. Knowing what fills you and fuels you. It took me a long time to learn that water is medicine for my life. Being around it, being near it, being in it. Took me a long time to know that music is medicine for me, and it affects and impacts my mood, my spirit, my frame of mind. And not that it has to be bad, but it can elevate it and empower you in a way that we can minimize. And so, knowing what your medicine is from an environmental and experiential standpoint. And then I think, you know, looking at it relationally, you know, who are the people that you know, you might not be able to have 50 minutes with them, but 5 minutes is like getting oxygen on the sideline before you go back on the field for the next set of downs. And so who are those people that fill you and fuel you relationally? And then I think transactionally, from a business standpoint, where do you need to pivot? What are your streams? What are your gift mixes that God has given you that can give you income, that can enable you to be able to build so that you can be more blessed and be an even greater blessing? And the last thing I would say about it and is reinvention. You know, sometimes, you know, God wants us to turn into something that we have never turned into before or never knew we could turn into it. And the 1984 animated series Transformers paints this picture of what it looks like to have the ability to turn into several things while you remain your authentic self. And sometimes different seasons, different moments in life require the same you in a different form. And so embracing reinvention and not being afraid to not just show a different side of you, but for people, be prepared for people to not understand that while you are not schizophrenic, you are versatile and viable.
You know, you brought up a really good point about who is someone that you could spend 5 minutes with that maybe you could learn from. And I want to ask you, even at your level, who is someone that maybe you would want to spend 5 minutes with, to have a conversation with, to gain wisdom or insight or valuable life lessons from?
You know, that's a great question, and it's a great question because I have the privilege to be friends with so many of my heroes, and to be able to have conversations with people like, Reverend Jesse Jackson, to be able to have conversations with people like Stevie Wonder. And, there are others like, I've been privileged to have conversations with President Barack Obama and so many others who I learned so much from. Brant Crider in New York, who's the president of Saint Laurent, is just 2 minutes with him and you're on fire. I mean, it's just like it's insanity, right? So, I gotta think about, that for a second, like who would I love to Oprah? Oprah is if I could have 5 minutes with Oprah, and here's why. Oprah has had the ability to build something few people get an opportunity to build, and it all begins with a line of thinking, a framework. And I think with the experience and longevity that she has amassed, I would want to say, a knowledgeability war chest that I think few people have. And I think others like her, right, who have built very special things. And I think whatever level of life you're on or in, you can learn, glean, and gain ground from the principles that they have to offer based on how they live their lives.
So I have to throw out a little disclaimer, obviously, to folks who are listening. Charles Jenkins and I know each other from Chicago, from my time in Chicago, and I am here in DC now. This is home for me, but Chicago is home for you, I believe. And so I wanted to ask you because what is happening in DC? I recall it happening in Chicago, which is where there is a problem with violence and crime and impacting young people. How do we reach the young people and let them know that there's another way to go? There's another option aside from resorting to violence and killings and gun violence.
It's very complicated. Once upon a time, I met with all of the gang founders in Chicago. I was sitting in lots of bureaucratic meetings and clinical meetings and all very, very important conversations. And, I just felt like, somebody needed to go to the streets and have a conversation with the streets. And I learned there that, gangs no longer have structure, what they described as checks and balances, as they taught me, there was a time when you knew who you were killing and why you were killing them, and there was a reason. But they described to me that over time, that those gangs kind of, I don't want to say they didn't break up, but there were new factions as certain leading leaders went to jail and there were offshoots and breakoffs, and then all of these other factions kind of offspring, so to speak. And suddenly, with just kind of the family broken in our neighborhood and the absence of really households where there's a mother and father that's able to, be on top of their kids, you got a generation on the loose. And so in Chicago, my team has said to me over time, many of my team members, I currently live in Los Angeles, but Chicago's always home. And, they're like, 300, 400 youth can be walking down the street and just start bashing in, storefronts and glass windows and snatch and grab. And, they roll in large masses. And I think that, it's a generation on the loose. And so, I think parenting, and that engagement, I think resources at the nonprofit level and allowing churches and neighborhood nonprofits to get their arms around their neighborhoods, I think it's got to become intimate. I think for-profits have got to invest in nonprofits, and it's got to be a hands-on approach from a educational standpoint, recreational standpoint, a spiritual standpoint. There's a passage in scripture that says, out of the heart comes murder, right? And so, I remember at the church that I led for many years, we would do a youth weekend, 2,000 kids, rival gang members in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Now, I'll never forget this Caucasian police officer walked up to me at the end of one of those and said, "I cannot believe we didn't have one argument between rival gang leaders with all of these young men on the basketball court. They were friends, friendly." And, Coke jumped in and provided, drinks and snacks. And we got shoes from Nike and we had all kind of prizes and we did a computer lab and tons of stuff. I'm going a long way to say peace is possible, but it will take, it's so many kids on the loose. It takes lots of resources, lots of volunteer people power and programs that will be able to wrap its arms around these kids. And the last thing I'll say why this is so important, if for-profits don't engage nonprofits who are in these neighborhoods, we are seeing it. What's in these neighborhoods are spilling over into our what many cities would deem as their most prized areas and neighborhoods, right? And like Chicago, there's a mass exodus with lots of people leaving and going to Michigan and Texas. And
a huge mass exodus. So many people I know, and some of them are from Chicago, have spent their whole lives in Chicago, are leaving.
It's, for me, it's the greatest city in the world, but I think, and I want to say this to whoever's listening in power and leadership politically, it is intelligent to invest in underserved and under-resourced neighborhoods and areas, because if you only keep investing in the Gold Coast and the areas that are doing well, what's in these underserved and under-resourced neighborhoods will spill over into these other neighborhoods and pull the city down. There are businesses that are leaving, companies, corporations, especially when you're in a state where the taxes are higher. People are like, look, I'm seeing lesser and lesser reasons to stay, right? So I think it's resources and it's programs and it's people.
So the Good Word podcast, as you know, is a faith-based podcast. We don't shy away from that. And we have been very blessed to have some incredible people join us on the podcast, including yourself. I have to ask you, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, what is the prayer that you are saying these days to guide and order your steps?
You know, I'm saying a lot of prayers. and I don't know if it's one specific one, but on a daily basis, prayer is conversation and communication with God. And so just like you talk to your friends or your family members, the difference between what makes prayer and versus just a conversation is that you're talking to God. So I'm always asking for help. I'm always asking for clarity. I'm always asking for strength and direction and wisdom. Wisdom is supreme intelligence, supernatural understanding. And so sometimes different moments call for different ideas. And sometimes we don't always have those ideas, or we don't have always the content for the context. And so I want to be effective in whatever moment I'm in. And so help me, Lord, or I need help is a short prayer, a small prayer with big time power. And so my hands are in a lot of things, music, fashion, film. I was very fortunate to be a part of a music team for an upcoming film called Praise This with Will Packer, Tina Gordon, starring Quavo from the Migos and Chloe Bailey and gospel stars like Corinne Hawthorne and to Kalen Carr, Country Wayne, and tons of Drewski is in it and hilarious. But it was my first feature film that I was a part of the team from beginning to end, and reading multiple scripts and touching talent and music and tons of stuff. Man, asking God for like favor, like give me favor, which is influence, understanding, and to be able to get to the end of my first feature film with this amazing team. It drops this spring, by the way. It's an incredible musical. But just simply asking God for help, this music, I just got my 18th or 19th number one. You don't you can't do that with a lot of without a lot of help. And not just the what, but the who. Because teamwork makes the dream work. And so for the people listening, a lot of times we pray for the what, but we don't pray for the who. And for some of us, the difference that we need to see in our lives is connected to the who. And so fashion, same thing. I'm being surrounded by amazing people. My lead designer has been forecasted to be the top designer of her generation. That's a who. Of the business team that's coming around. I mean, I just knowing that you need a lot of help, and knowing that it's vertical and horizontal, and knowing that the vertical can provide the horizontal. God knows what you need, and He knows who you need.
Lastly, everyone that comes on the Good Word, we always ask them, what is the Good Word?
What is the good word? I mean, it's so many, Tisha. I mean, which one you want? God is good. That's a good
All
word.
the time.
Yeah. God is good. I mean, all things are possible if you believe. That's a good word. I wrote a book called Seasons, and the simple premise is this: all of our lives are framed in scenes and segments of time. Like a script, all of our lives have scenes and acts in every season, because sometimes no one season looks the same. You got to know what you are know what you are doing, but also know what you're not doing. We all have a to-do list. You also need a stop doing list, and there are lots of things you got to know how to do. You got to know how to hear from God. You got to know how to discover your purpose. You got to know how to discover your calling and know the difference between purpose and calling. And I describe that very simply like this. My mama, when I was growing up, would say, "Chuck, get in here and clean your room." Calling is when you're being invited to do something. Purpose is the thing you have been invited to do. Chuck, that's the calling. Get in here and clean your room. That's the purpose. And so purpose is my assignment, my obligation, my responsibility, the thing that I exist to do, or the things I exist to do. And so I think knowing what season of life you're in, is a good word, because when you know what season of life you're in, you can set your expectations and the temperature of your emotions to the right temperature. And I say it this way: sometimes we're in a planting season, that's a beginning. Sometimes we're in a harvesting season, that is an end. If you don't know you're in a planting season, you can be looking for a harvest, increase, resources, results, the joy that comes with the ending. But if you know you're in a planting season and you're clear, it's a beginning. It's a grind. It's tough. It's lots of investment, and sometimes stress and strain and push and pull, and but then when you're in a harvesting season, it's party time. Let's celebrate. We're reaping. We see the results of our effort and our energy. And sometimes people are in a grieving season. When you're in a grieving season, you just know that you're not the happiest person. You might be teary, you might be down, you might be stoic, you might be contemplative, and you feel the pain as hard as it hurts. And your expectations and your emotions are set. You embrace that, knowing that trouble doesn't last always. And I can keep going, but it's lots of good words.
There are, there's so many, and we want to leave you with a good word as well. happy birthday. We are doing
Yay!
this on your birthday. And let me leave you with this gift. It's my favorite scripture, Numbers 6:24-26, which I know you know what it is. May the Lord bless you and keep you, shine his light upon you, and bring you peace.
Love that so much. Come on, Dr. Tisha. Give it to the people. Thank you for
Let the
my
church say
support.
amen.
Do
Charles
amen.
Jenkins, thank you so much for joining us in the Good Word Podcast. Where can folks find you and hear your music?
You can find me, follow me at Instagram, Charles Jenkins Music, and go to YouTube. I dropped this Never Knew Love house remix, almost 100,000 views in a couple days. It's gonna make you feel real, real good. I'm everywhere you listen to music, Charles Jenkins.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.